Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, here with one of my very best friends, Wes Holloman.
Hey, everybody.
Yay, we love when Wes comes to hang out with us. It's always so fun.
Thanks for inviting me once again.
Yes, once again. We're super thankful. Love when Wes gets to be here. Y'all, we are starting a four-week Table Talk series for Easter, kind of getting us ready for Easter, and then even some follow-up. And so Wes is kicking it off for us, and Wes and I are going to talk about Palm Sunday today, and then next week Stuart Rothberg will be here to talk about Passover.
Mm-hmm. Which is going to be very cool.
So cool. He's supposed to bring things.
Seder. It's amazing. If you've never been a part of that,
yeah,
it will change your life.
I'm super excited about it. I mean, Stuart's great. We love any time he comes to talk with us.
Right.
But really getting to talk about this, I think, is going to be neat. And then Jonathan Morrison is going to come, and we're going to talk about Good Friday. And then the Thursday after Easter, we're actually going to have a table talk with Pastor Levi, really looking at, okay, Easter happened. Mm-hmm. How does it change me? What should I do with what I just looked at, or what I just felt, or what I just studied, or what I just learned? How does that change me? One thing we say here at Sagemont a whole lot is, what's your next step?
That's exactly right.
Right? Helping people take those next steps in following Jesus. So Pastor Levi is going to come, and we're going to talk about, what are my next steps after Easter and because of Easter? So it's going to be great. We actually did an Easter series with a lot of those same men last year. You can go back and watch that if you want to. But this year we're going to get to spend some time on these. It's going to be fun.
I'm excited.
It's going to be super fun. Okay, Palm Sunday.
Yes.
The thing I always think about with Palm Sunday is, it was so fun when I was a little kid, and I would go, and they would actually have palm branches.
That's correct.
And we would get to run up and down the aisles and, like, wave our palm.
I did that as well. In fact, I was talking to Jason, we should pull out the branches,
right,
or do something,
yes,
like that.
It's so fun. It's like one of those things. And I think just as a kid, I was like, woohoo, palm branches.
Right.
But of course, there's so much,
yes,
about these scriptures that talk about Palm Sunday, because here's the deal. There's lots of really neat things that happened all throughout scripture, right? Mm-hmm. With Jesus and all the things. There are certain things that we physically set aside time for to remember.
That's exactly right.
Palm Sunday is one of those.
Correct.
So just kind of high overview. If someone is maybe new to the faith, mm-hmm, or just hasn't ever really dug down into it, when we say Palm Sunday, other than you got to maybe, your kids come home and they've made something with a palm branch,
right,
or you get to wave one around,
right,
what is Palm Sunday? What's, sure, the purpose of it?
So really, Palm Sunday is the kickoff for the Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I love about Easter, is that truly does set the tone from Sunday all the way till we get to the next Sunday. So this is the first week. This is also called the Triumphal Entry.
Yes.
This is where Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and he is really seen as the king. Now, not the king that he truly was coming to,
right,
be. They wanted him to be a different king. They wanted him to be the war king.
Right.
But in that, it's just the setting the tone of him coming in to Jerusalem and starting the process of him leaving there to get to die on the cross and then eventually,
right,
raised from the dead.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me. I think as believers that live in 2025, mm-hmm, we look back at Easter week,
yeah,
and we have 2020 vision.
Correct.
Like, we understand that when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we know he's getting crucified on Friday.
Correct.
The people didn't.
No, had no clue.
And it's so, I always encourage people when you're studying scripture, remind yourself that the people actually a part of that when it was happening, they don't know,
correct,
what the next days are going to bring.
Well, you think about this too. They were super excited.
Yes.
Because, and you think about this, Passover was going on. So what was happening is literally thousands of people are flooding into Jerusalem at this point. So all these people had heard about Jesus. Now they're seeing Jesus and they're excited. Palm branches, they're laying down their cloaks. I mean, all these different things, and it symbolized like victory. Like, this is our guy, that he's,
right,
going to lead us to victory. And people were just going crazy. And it was like, this was, and you think about this too, Jesus so many times wanted his identity to kind of be, you know,
right, don't tell, I'm going to go away. Yes.
And this time he's like, I'm in full view. This,
mm-hmm,
is, I want people to know who I am, but they just missed the mark,
yeah,
and why he was truly there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's just, it's crazy to think of all the mixed emotions that have,
yeah,
that were going through his brain and his mind. But also these people were like, let's do,
yeah,
this. Let's, I mean, they were all behind,
yeah,
him. What?
And what I think is interesting is this, him coming in, right, on a donkey, not a horse, right? That speaks huge volumes just in the humility with which he came. And that was very purposeful, right? Mm-hmm. That I don't know that the people caught it, but it was. And then also, it was fulfilling prophecy.
Correct.
And that's why the people were so excited, because they knew what Scripture said about this person that would come.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I have it here, because Zechariah, it talks about it, and it says, this is Zechariah 9:9, and it's right here. And it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Just so right there, pretty much just straight up Scripture. That's what he was doing. The fulfillment of the Scripture was happening right then and there.
Yeah. It always, I think it's so cool that we got to see that fulfillment that we do, but they did in that moment. And also the fact that they knew what Scripture said.
Yeah.
So they knew what to be looking for.
Correct.
So then that should be a huge encouragement to us, because guess what? He's going to make another triumphal entry.
That's right.
Right? It's what we're waiting for Jesus to come back. And it's like, do you know how that prophecies are going to look like for us?
That's exactly right.
Which is encouraging.
It's just a reminder of like just studying Scripture. Like,
yes.
Just reading it.
Yep.
And every single day. And it really does change you and transform you. And it's just even a one verse a day. I mean, if you're out there going, I can't do this. I don't.
Right.
But just as a practical thing, even just picking one verse a day or a couple of verses a day will truly make all the difference in the world, because you really dig into and dive into what God is saying specifically to you through that Scripture.
Absolutely. You know, and I think about people that are brand new, brand new to the faith. Mm-hmm. And they hear you go back to Zechariah and they're like, what's that book?
Right.
Who knew that was even in the Bible?
Correct.
Don't be discouraged by that. Be motivated by that to go, there is so much to know, and God's just inviting you into. And it's one of those, you don't have to know everything today.
That's right.
Well, none of us do. We're always learning. We're always growing.
Right.
But let that be a huge encouragement if you're new to the faith and go, maybe I didn't even know there was Palm Sunday or what you're talking about, fulfillment of prophecy. Like, let those things encourage you to dig in more.
Well, you think about it too. Part of what this does is it helps us. People are always looking for evidence. Are you really telling me the truth? Is this really that? And what they were doing in all four Gospels, because the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, is talked about in all four Gospels. And in that, they're telling it kind of a different way, different on their perspective. But the cool thing is that all of them are pointing back to the Scripture, saying this is the evidence that we know that Jesus is who he says he is.
That's right. I love that. And so, like you said, it was Passover, so all these people were coming in. So Jesus was coming in. He is riding on a donkey, not a horse. They think they really are looking for, like you said, the warrior king that's going to come in and make everything better for them and get the different rulers and all of that kind of stuff. And he very much said, I'm going to come in on a donkey, humble. And even when people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, I just think that Jesus's heart had, like, he never, Jesus was totally without sin. So he never got prideful.
Right.
He never dealt with that. Mm-hmm. He just was like, he also knew where he was going.
Correct.
Which is crazy.
So one of the things that blew me away just as I was getting ready for this today is that, so Jesus, you think about, like, you were talking about how do the people feel, like, when they saw Jesus, but you think about how did Jesus feel?
Oh, man.
Because at that point, he knew what he was about to do. He was about to die. He was about to suffer. He was about to do all these crazy things for us because we didn't deserve it, but he wanted us to know him personally. In order for that to happen, he had to pay the ultimate price, which is his death. But what blew me away is that the account in Luke, it talks about that Jesus actually wept. Like, he didn't just walk in there and kind of get overwhelmed with the emotion of people like shouting his name or saying, save us, because Hosanna means save us. But it says, as he approached and saw the city, he wept over it. Mm-hmm. And it says, saying, if you knew this day, that would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Mm. So if they had known that he really was trying to bring peace, but it was peace of the heart and not peace of what they were trying to do in Rome.
Yeah.
It just, it kind of broke my heart that that's how much Jesus loves us, that he would do that, but that he, his heart breaks for us as well. That's in what's right. going on in this world today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you think about that day, and think about if you were one of those people going to Jerusalem for the Passover, mm-hmm. Do you think you would have been one of the people like on the street with the palm branch going, awesome, Jesus, this is amazing? Or would you have been somebody in the background going, I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I'm going to kind of wait and see what might be? Just even your personality, like, right. are you the guy that's going to be like, I'm out there?
Pretty much. Like, I probably would have been the palm branch, like, dancing around and going crazy. I probably would have done that. But I will tell you, I probably would have been caught up in the emotion of it as well, because at that point, they didn't know.
That's right.
I mean, they knew that they were saying, Hosanna, this was the Messiah. They were saying all these That's things, right. but they didn't know at that point. And it's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing instead of, like, really kind of making the decision for your own. Yeah. And you think about it, within days, these same people were then saying, crucify him, crucify
That's right.
him.
That's right.
So I would hope that I would have been excited, and I hope that I would not have been on the other side saying, yeah. crucify him. But it, they were wrestling with lots of different things, Absolutely. Too. Is this guy really it? And there were so many evidences of him just saving people's lives mm-hmm. and raising people from the dead and making people see, I mean, the book of John that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That whole story yes. that Levi's been talking
yeah, the
about.
Blind man.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
those things, there were evidences all over the place, That's but right. still people didn't believe. And it says that they was hidden from their eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy to know that for us too, that he has revealed himself to us. And that's what we pray, that he will continue to reveal himself in so many mm-hmm. great ways. I mean, that's what we pray even for Easter, like when right. this whole point of us inviting people to come mm-hmm. and to be here and to start praying for who is that one family, that one person that you're right. going to invite. And if you weren't here this past Sunday, it's like you can write the name of the people.
Yep.
There are hundreds of names
so
already
many.
Out there, which
mm-hmm.
is so cool. But those names and those, they represent people. And that we pray that then when they get here, that they will hear it.
Absolutely.
The scales will fall off their eyes. They will
That's
know
right. him. We get to be a part of that, which is so fun. And I think, you know, so often we do talk about the crucifixion and the mob mentality. Mm-hmm. There was some mob mentality with Palm Sunday
for
as
sure.
well, you know. And I think you're even for us to think, I don't ever want my relationship with the Lord to just be based on who I'm around
right.
or my emotions and how I feel.
Right.
Emotions and feelings are great, but they shouldn't be our foundation. Mm-hmm. And so often I think that's what we rely on a lot.
Correct.
Is
we,
those.
Well, we feel feelings,
yeah.
you know, and the whole thing is about knowledge of knowing who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Our feelings constantly change, go back and forth.
All the time.
Good, bad.
Yes.
But in the midst of it, we know that's the part that we have to hold on to and cling
yeah.
to. It is not about the emotion or getting caught up in the crowd. It's about knowing, and even when we're by ourselves,
right.
we know who God is.
Yes.
We know where we can get wisdom from Scripture,
mm-hmm.
from people like sitting down and having mm-hmm. conversations like this,
mm-hmm.
that we can get the encouragement that we need to continue.
Yeah. yeah.
And
to
not
keep
get
going.
A part of that mob mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. And so we're looking back at Palm Sunday, right? But then for today, mm-hmm. what impact does this part of Scripture, this part of history, impact me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I walk out knowing this? What impact should it have
sure.
on my life?
That's a good question. I'm thinking about, like, you know, Jesus was completely, he gave it all. He was completely humble in
Very
this
true.
Fact. I mean,
yep.
he could have easily taken the credit. And, mm-hmm. and we know that even from studying the Scriptures that he never did those types of things. Right. But at this point, he completely humbled himself.
Yes.
Knowing that he got on a donkey and was going down the road, knowing the next couple of days that he was going to be beat mm-hmm. and whipped mm-hmm. and died on a cross. And I mean, mm-hmm. the total utter agony of what he had to experience, but he was humbled to the fact that he said to the cross
yeah.
so that we could know him. So yeah. I think one thing was, like, for us to think about is that, like, his humility, I think is a really big deal.
Why do you think we struggle with humility so much?
I think pride.
Sure.
I think I think that we want to do it ourselves. Like, we want to take the credit mm-hmm. for what God has done, or we compare ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be Jesus, or I'd like to be those two disciples that get to go pick up the
right.
the donkeys and saying, it's just so easy to get caught up in yeah. those types of things mm-hmm. instead of really focusing on the one that right. was on the donkey.
Yeah.
I think that's,
you know, what's
it.
So interesting is just this last week, I had two separate conversations with people that were sharing their salvation stories with me. And both of these sweet women said the thing I struggled with the most before I came to salvation, the questions I had, the things that I wrestled with was I just didn't think Jesus deserved to die for my sin. And they were like, I could not get past the fact, why does he... I'm the one that's sinning. Why does he
Correct.
Have to do that? And I thought that I'd never really heard someone say that was their big struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But not the he shouldn't have to do this for me.
Correct.
And I think even that part, in a really roundabout way, can be linked to pride. Mm-hmm. And I should be able to clean it up myself. I should be able to Correct. Handle this. I should be able to. And what a weird kind of way mm-hmm. for that thing that sounds like humility of, well, I don't want him to have to do that. I should do that. Really is this prideful thing of, I can take care of it all myself.
Right.
And it's so crazy because Jesus is looking at us going, you can't.
That's right.
And your humility shows your need for me.
That's right.
And I just thought that was such a neat way of looking at walking in humility is being able, it helps me realize my need for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think like the expectation of like the people that were there, they were like, this is going to be our Messiah. This is yeah. great. And when their expectations weren't met, they immediately just left it.
Yeah.
And I think as far as like application piece, I think a lot of times we expect Jesus to do these things for us. And when we, yeah. it doesn't happen exactly the way we want it to,
right.
we become the people that say it's your yeah. fault. It's right. what you've done. And so that kind of like struck me even today, mm-hmm. thinking about what that looks like as far as how we can apply that. Mm-hmm. So remember that expectations and reality, that's where the disappointment lies. Mm-hmm. And so, knowing full well of who he is and what he has done for us kind of decreases that expectation in order for us to kind of live in the present and in the moment
yeah.
so that we can enjoy the week of Easter.
Right.
And it's really not enjoy because you think this first day was supposed to be like this, oh, this is great. This is awesome. Right. But it truly was a sad day yeah. and him stepping in and then it's the whole thing. It goes from him being in the turning over all the money changers. That's yeah. the exact same thing in yeah. many of the things. And then leading up to him being denied, and mm-hmm. it's a sad road, but it is the most glorious road for you and me
yeah.
and for all of us.
Absolutely. And I think it is so neat, because I've done this the last few years, is really try to walk through that week thinking about the day that it is mm-hmm. and taking the time to go, okay, he is the king.
Right.
I can celebrate that he's the king and that he is the fulfillment of prophecy. And this is something to be celebrated.
Correct.
And then walking through all of those steps, because so often, right, we just jump straight to Easter.
Right.
Because listen, he's alive.
That's come on.
And every day we're celebrating that.
That's
right.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
that's the best. And I'm not saying don't celebrate that every day, celebrate that every day. But I also think it's okay for us to also remember all he had to go through mm-hmm. He was willing to go through
That's right.
for that.
That's exactly right.
And just taking the time to go, yeah, this is all the different things.
It's quite overwhelming.
Yes.
But in the most awesome and incredible way.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if we just jump past stuff, we miss it.
That's exactly right.
And it really diminishes how important Easter Sunday is mm-hmm. if we haven't taken time to sit and think about it.
Exactly right.
You are someone that people that know you well, and even people that don't know you well, they know this about you. You have a servant's heart. You're going to be the first one there, the last one there. You're going to be picking the trash up off the ground. You're the one that's going to sprint down to your office to get copies because something got forgotten and sprint all the way back to be able to do whatever you need to do. And and I think you would say about yourself, you have a servant's heart.
Oh,
and
you.
That servant leadership and all of that. Looking at that is 100% how Jesus led was with a servant's heart. We see that when he washes the disciples' feet. But that servant's heart, do you, when you think about yourself in that aspect, do you see a time when you made a decision to live that way? Or do you think that was just a gift the Lord's given you and you've developed it over the years in having that humble servant heart?
Right. That's a good question. I do believe that God has given us gifts. And I think if I take a spirit, like we did, we're taking spiritual gifts tests right now. And a lot of us are going to be taking those really, really soon, as, even as a church. And one of my main ones is serving. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that God has kind of birthed that into me. Mm-hmm. But I also think that God's used circumstances to help us get to that point of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And like even last week in the blog that I wrote for...
Yeah. The newsletter that came
newsletter
out.
Is that... Like when I moved from Georgia to Texas, I mean, I truly did. I thought my life was over. Yeah. I mean, it was the most traumatic kind of awful experience for the first year because I really did not know anybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think also to add to that, you're an only child.
Yes.
So it wasn't even like you and all your brothers and sisters. Right. It was you.
Correct.
Yeah.
And even going to the school was bigger than our entire town. Mm-hmm. Like, so I left all my family, all my friends, and we went there. And I mean, eating by myself in the bathroom, you know, it just reminded me of, even in that someone served me to say, "Hey, Wes, why don't you come sit with us?" And in that was a light bulb moment where God says, "Okay, Wes, I want you to remember this because this is what it means to serve others. This is what it means to put yourself out there and to try something."
Yeah.
And so that is where I really do believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when I moved, because that servant kind of, I guess, solidified in my heart and mind. And at that point, I knew that I wanted to serve him, whatever capacity that he wanted me to do at that point. So my 10th grade year was a pivotal point in that. So I think scripture... but I also think circumstances and just what God has kind of birthed me in. Yeah. But I also believe that people can't use that as a crutch to say, well, that's not my primary spiritual gift.
Right. Sure.
I do believe that we're all called to serve in some capacity. So that also means that maybe I like to serve, but other people can serve by putting teams together.
Yes.
So there are so many different ways. And as we're getting even ready for the third service, there's still more ways, even in Sagemont Kids and in different places that you can serve that God can use to really fulfill what God has called in your own life. And especially as we go into this spiritual high moment of week of Easter.
Of looking for how can I serve?
Yes.
How can I be a servant? And one thing you used to do back in the day is you talked about going the second mile and explain just a little bit, because I think so often we think, well, I'm a servant, I'm going to do this one thing.
Right.
And so often it's God's called you to do that thing. And then he might call you to go the second mile.
Correct.
And be willing to do the next thing that maybe nobody's going to see.
Right.
You might never get told thank you for it.
Right.
But you're doing it for him.
Correct.
So talk just a little bit about what that second mile, what is that?
Well, back during the biblical times, what would happen is that the Romans could tell the people of Israel, like, just carry this backpack for me or do something like that. What they were talking about is that they would say carry it a mile, but what Jesus was essentially saying is that carry for 2 miles.
Yeah.
Like, take that extra step, go the extra mile.
That's right.
And what that does is it makes people think, like, why are you doing that? Why would you serve me that way? What would look like? And so many things, you can apply that to your kids' lives, but also to your own lives, to, I mean, to your family in general life. Like, what can you do to go the second mile that would actually make people ask the questions, why are you doing that for me? And in that, you're able then to share the love of Jesus by saying, I do this because I want to share the love of Christ to
you. That's right.
So that idea of second mile, and it can go second mile leadership. It can be in second mile parenting. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways that you can apply that principle. And so that's a great thing for us to think about, even as we get into this Holy Week, is that how can we go the second mile? How can we serve as Jesus did?
That's right. I love it so much, going the second mile, because so often as believers, we're like, I do serve. Mm-hmm. I do. And eat with a good heart and with purpose. And we're so, I mean, that's awesome. But man, I always love a little motivation, a little bit of a challenge of, hey, but how can you go the second mile?
That's right.
How can you go the second mile? And then doing it with a humble heart, not for a good job.
Correct.
But just because you want to serve like Jesus served,
right.
Which I think is so great.
It's great.
And I think y'all, you know, looking at Palm Sunday, the humility in which Jesus rode into mm-hmm. Jerusalem on that day.
That's right.
Is just a reminder for us that humble servant is something we're, and again, it's not just because it's a spiritual gift we might have,
right.
All of us.
Correct.
As believers that are looking to Jesus for mm-hmm. how we should live,
right.
A humble servant.
Right. It just sets the tone for the week that we
That's
get
right.
to go. And I'm really cool about the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
As I hear about those specific things. But this sets up, and I love that piece. Let's see how we can live the second mile.
Let's do it. And then if you see me and Wes, tell us, how are you living out being a second mile servant?
That's right.
There's always opportunity. Pray for it. God will show it to you. Open your eyes and then follow through. Be obedient to what God calls you to do. So, y'all, as this month of April really is leading into Easter and the actual Holy Week, but even before then, as you're preparing your heart for Easter, I hope these table talks will be helpful mm-hmm. for you in that and motivating for you. But also, man, come to church on Sunday mornings. And if you miss, go back and watch those messages. It's preparing our heart to really take time to celebrate.
That's right.
What Jesus did for each one of us and the fact that he's alive and we get to have a relationship because of him.
That's exactly right.
And so it's a really exciting thing. And so we want you to come along and join us. And just like we heard Sunday, invite people to join you.
Come on.
Invite people to come along and join. I'm sure we have door hangers left
over. There's still some leftovers.
Okay. So if you didn't get door hangers to invite people this last Sunday, make sure you stop.
Yes.
And get them this Sunday.
That's exactly right. Okay. And there's more coming. So this Sunday. We won't
can we
tell
sneak?
You.
Oh.
Well, I guess we could.
You can sneak peek all you want.
So invitation cards are coming also this Sunday, and then also the yard signs.
Yay, yard signs.
So they're coming. So you'll
That's
get to pick
so
those up
fun.
On Sunday.
Yes. So be looking for that. Come on Sunday. We would love for you to join us. Wes, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all you're doing for the church. I know you love this place. You love these people.
I do.
You do such a great job.
Thank
so we're
you.
Very thankful
Thank
for all that you're
much.
Doing. Y'all, pray
it.
For Wes. Pray for our leadership and staff, especially with third service coming up.
That's right.
Sunday after Easter.
Come on.
9:10:20, 11:40.
Let's do it.
It's going to be good.
Yes.
Come and join us. Be praying for that. There's lots of details that go into all of that. So we covet all of your prayers as we make those transitions. And so it's good stuff happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wes.
Appreciate it.
Guys, see you next week with Stuart for Passover on Table Talk.